I'm the good shepherd. Yeah, nice. Yeah, bread of life. Did I hear something? Oh, the vine, yeah, but we haven't gone to the vine yet. Huh? Light of the world, yeah. And the grave? The resurrection, yeah, cool. So, I need focus. There we go. Nice. Cool. So those are all the ones we've done so far, the five we've done. Bread in order, bread of life, light of the world, the gate for the sheep, the good shepherd, the resurrection. And today, of course, we are looking at, the way, the truth, and the life. Cool. So when I was preparing the message for this week, there was one particular verse that stood out to me. And it's this one, in verse 9. When Philip asked Jesus to show him the Father, this was Jesus' reply. He said, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still don't know me? Have I been with you all this time, and you still don't know me?" Now, this statement resonates with me very deeply because this was my journey. Of coming to trust in Jesus as my Lord and Savior. But having said that, I also want to point out that I think it's not that uncommon in the church, the wider church, not just us. But this seems especially true for people who have grown up in church, in a Christian family, people who have known God their whole lives, but can still somehow be in a situation where God can turn to us and ask us, "Have I been with you all this time, and you still don't know me?" These disciples, the 12 apostles, have been with Jesus day in and day out for 3.5 years. They've lived with Jesus. They've eaten meals with Jesus, traveled with Jesus, camped with Jesus. They've pretty much spent every minute of every day hearing him speak and teach, being taught and mentored by him. But in John 14, three different disciples ask three different questions, and each of these questions show that despite all this time they've spent face to face with the living Son of God, Jesus can still genuinely turn to them and ask them this question: "Have I been with you all this time, and still you don't know me?" And it's not because Jesus is hidden or mysterious, or that there's some kind of secret knowledge that's going around that needs to be discovered. It's that the disciples, and I'm thinking maybe for some of us too, have been doing what the prophets have been calling out the Israelite people for a long time. That they are ever hearing, but not understanding, ever perceiving, ever seeing, but not perceiving. And then our hearts have turned dull and calloused. So I'm really passionate about this because this is my story, right? It's part of my testimony. I grew up my whole life knowing the Father, knowing Jesus, right? Having invited the Holy Spirit into my life when I was 8 or 9, growing up in a loving Christian family, a loving church, a church whose main message, core message, by the way, is the life of Jesus in the believer, right? That's our logo, Jesus, the Savior, Sanctified, Healer, Coming King, meaning Jesus, the all-sufficient, indwelling Christ. But how could I have grown up hearing this profound message day in and day out, just like the disciples, and still have this message not penetrate into my heart for so long? You know, how hard was my heart? How could God have been with me all this time, and still I don't know him? I didn't know him. I don't know. But if you're thinking maybe this might be you too, don't be discouraged. Because the disciples were the same, And we'll see, as we'll see today, Jesus only responded with compassion and encouragement. In verses 2 to 4, Jesus, and I'm summarizing, Jesus says, "My Father's house has many rooms. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And I will come back, take you to be with me. You know the way to the place, the place where I'm going." And Thomas says, "No, we don't. What way? Way to where? Where are you going?" Verse 5, "Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way?" So let me ask you a question. What is the way to God? See, throughout history, human beings have invented lots of ways to try to find a way to the divine. Right? Some cultures have relied on rituals, right? Rites and practices that would enable us to connect with whatever God was out there. Other cultures have relied on things like sacrifices, even human sacrifices, right? Giving up something precious to us in the hopes that it would appease whatever God was out there and they would look upon me with favor and do something for me. Right? In some religions, they rely on works. If I do the right things, if I say the right things, if I go to the right places, then God will be pleased with me and I will be all good with God. Do you know what's wrong with all of these ideas? They're all human-centric ideas. They all start from me. Right? They're answering the wrong question. And the question is, how do I find my way to God? And so let me use an analogy to show why this is the wrong question to ask. When I was a kid, and this might sound a little crazy, but I used to go outside and just watch insects mill around. And I used to try to picture what it would be like to be an insect and watch these giant humans lumber around doing their thing and to try to understand from my perspective as this tiny creature, was there any works I could do, or any offerings I could have made, or any rituals I could have performed that would make a human notice me and care about me? And obviously the answer is no. If anything, you'll probably annoy the human and they'll try to squish you. Now, I'm not saying that we're insects to God, right? That's not what I'm saying at all. We know from the Bible that God values each and every one of us so, so much. But do you get a sense of that gap between us and God? Do you see from this perspective how futile it is for a human to even think that there is anything we could do to find a way to God? Right? The only way that a human being could even begin to understand the heart of the Creator is if God Himself took on human form, just like us, and came to us and started a conversation with us. And of course, by this I mean Jesus. This is why Jesus is so important, right? Jesus is God Himself reaching out to us because we can't reach out to Him by ourselves. So what is the way to God? And Thomas said, "We don't know the way." But Jesus said, "No, Thomas, you do know the way. I am the way. I am the way. And no one can come to the Father except through me." Does that kind of make sense? See, it's so easy for us, even if we've been Christians for a long time, to fall into that trap of thinking that we need to find our own way to God. Even though we know that Christianity isn't about works, we can still subconsciously believe that if we offered enough of our time or money, if we did enough good deeds, if we prayed enough or read our Bibles enough, then somehow that makes us more worthy of God. Now, I'm not saying that those things don't improve our relationship with God. They almost certainly do. But they don't make us any more worthy before God. And I think that's an important distinction to make. Right? Every sinner, no matter how terrible, can come to Jesus and find the way to acceptance and redemption. And so every saint, no matter how righteous, no matter how good, is still no more worthy than that sinner to find in Jesus the way either. When Jesus said, "I am the way," he means that. There is only one way to God for all of us. God himself, revealed in the flesh as the Son. Anything we've offered, anything we've done, none of that matters. Jesus says, "I am the way. No one comes to the Father except through me." Have you been with me all this time? And you still don't know me? Come to Jesus, the way. Now moving on, in verse 8, Philip then asks, "Show us the Father, and that will be enough." And again, Jesus replies, "Have I been with you all this time, and you still don't know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father." What a claim. Whoever has seen me has seen Jesus, has seen God the Father. Even Moses could only see God's back. Right? People say I look like my dad. And I know that when I speak Cantonese, I sound like my dad. But that doesn't mean if you've seen me, or if you know me, then you know my dad. I don't think it quite works that way. But Jesus says, if you've seen him, you've seen the Father. And let that sink in for a little bit. Everyone has an image of God. To some of us, God is creator. We can go out into nature and marvel at what he's created. We can find his fingerprints all over creation. To some of us, God is a judge. This can be the case if you have a particularly strong sense for what is right and wrong. God is the king who will come to judge between the right, the good, and the bad. To other people, God is a fortress. He's a shelter from the storm, the one you go to find peace and rest. God is indeed all these things. But at the end of the day, these are our images of God. This is what we think God is based on our preconceptions and our experiences. And these things, although most of the time they're probably right, they're not always reliable. For example, because God is Father, then my relationship with my earthly father will impact my image of my heavenly Father. And while my parents give their all to be good, loving Christian role models to me, at the end of the day, they're still human and they can't perfectly reflect God. And this isn't to mention that a lot of people don't have that privilege of growing up in a Christian family. And so while we mean well when we tell people that God is a loving father, for example, that's not always easy for someone to understand depending on their background. Right? That image of God the Father is shaped by the person's experiences. But Jesus says, whoever has seen me has seen the Father. Not only is Jesus the way to God, Jesus is the perfect human face of God. We don't have to theorize what God would do for the vulnerable in society because we see in the Gospels how Jesus cared for the vulnerable. We don't have to theologize how God would accept the sinner no matter how undeserving they were because we see in the Gospels how Jesus embraced the sinner, the tax collector, the prostitute, even the thief on the cross who was rightfully punished for his crimes. So again, Jesus' words echo here, but this time from the Father. "Have I been with you all this time, and still you don't know me?" Have we let our images of God, our conception of God, our tidy box of theology God, obscure us from the truth of what God is really like. When Jesus says, whoever has seen me has seen the Father, it means we don't have to guess. It means we don't have to imagine. We don't have to theorize. Because when we study Jesus in Scripture and learn his heart and his character, we are getting a true glimpse into the heart and the character of the Father. Come to Jesus, the true reflection of the Father. Now, a bit of an aside. This series is called Meeting I Am. And I am, meaning Jesus, of course. It's called Meeting I Am because this is the whole point. Jesus is both the revelation of God, he reveals to us what God is like, and the way to God. And that's why it's so important as a Christian, a follower of Christ, a follower of Jesus, to know the one we are following. When we meet with Jesus, we are meeting God. And when we follow Jesus, he is the way to God. But at the end of the day, isn't it all still just a little bit abstract? After all, Jesus is no longer physically with us. And kind of like I alluded to earlier, it seems that the best we could do is to read these historical documents, these Gospels in the Bible, and learn from these writings what Jesus is like. So is that it? Is that all there is? Do you think we can do better? The disciple Judas, and not Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed Jesus, but the other Judas, so there were two Judases. Judas asked exactly this question in verse 22, but Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? If you are the way, the truth, and the life, if you are the revelation of God and the way to God, if it's so important that people meet you and know you, why are you only showing yourself to us, the 12 apostles, in this brief moment of history? And Jesus' answer is so good. First, he says, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. We will live with them. We will dwell with them, is what Jesus promised. How? The Holy Spirit. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The advocate, I have another verse here that I didn't put up. The advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. See, God doesn't want to do everything by himself. He wants to do it with you and me, with everyone who calls Jesus their Lord and Savior. And the promise in verse 12 is that very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I've been doing, and they will do even greater things than these. So we can still meet Jesus today. It's not just through studying Scripture. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus, and he lives on in every believer, empowering them to do even greater things than Jesus. And unlike the people in Jesus' time, we don't even have to go out there and find him in the wilderness, right? Because he's already here. If you want to meet Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life, then seek to know his Spirit. So let me finish with some ways to meet with Jesus. When you pray, ask him to teach you to hear his voice. Prayer isn't just one way. But it's two-way. We communicate to God, and he talks back to us. When you read the Bible, ask him to reveal the meaning of his words to you. I'll move on. When you go about your day, ask him to open your eyes to see his hidden wonders. And when you serve, ask him to empower you with his gifts. See, we can meet Jesus. He is still here. So seek him and get to know him. His Spirit lives in you and has been there with you ever since you called Jesus your Lord and Savior. And how tragic would it be if you called on him and his response was what he said to Philip, "Have I been with you all this time? And still, you don't know me." So let's learn from the disciples and reach out and start getting to know him. Amen.